Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Greetings and welcome to episode number 85 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell, and I'm 85.
Oh, no, we're dragging
it's
back.
Bad.
Frequent listeners will know how drudgery this becomes after all this enthusiasm about how we've survived 80-some.
85, that's
pretty,
a lot.
No, okay, we're getting close to that 100 mark, too. We've got to do something special for that, huh? Okay, wrinklednotdead.com is where our stuff can be found. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and as they say on NPR, everywhere where podcasts are found.
Exactly. And if you can tell your friends and family, if you see us posted on Facebook, please share it because that's the best way of people finding out about us. And we also have another business called Michael Bell Productions. And our goddaughter said we should talk about this from time to time. Mm-hmm. We've been in business since 1989 and we do advertising. We do corporate training. We do speeches.
Right.
You name it, we do it. And you can reach us at michaelbell.com.
Ooh, very efficient of you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're approaching people who are over 50, but we have a very large audience that's under 50, but we're bringing you along for the ride because we've all had some tough times, and this is the second in a series called Faith, Hope, and Charity. But first, what we learned this week. My goodness. So this actually happened to me.
Yeah.
Do not answer your cell phone if you get a call from your own number.
Yeah, Mike was sitting, we're having lunch somewhere.
We're having lunch, yeah.
And he said, thank God he didn't pick it up because he had it turned off. And he looked and he said, wait a minute, I just called myself.
It's somebody spoofing you. Now, it sounds like, oh, that's comedic, and I let it up. But that's how a couple of ways they scam you on this thing. First of all, they can run up your cell phone charges. That sounds pretty minor, but it isn't always. And other ways they can do it is to find out some personal information about you. So, regardless, do not answer a cell phone call that you get from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Big deal. I'm sick of these people that are figuring out ways to rip us off. I mean, come on.
I know. I hear you.
Okay, so we talked about
faith last week.
Mm-hmm, and today we're going to talk about hope because, like Mike said, it's faith, hope, and charity. So hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Okay?
Got it.
And Christopher Reeve said it beautifully, bless his soul. I mean, what an amazing man,
Superman.
I know. He said, and coming from, you know, he was a quadriplegic?
Yes, I think actually he was paralyzed from the neck down.
From the neck down.
I remember it was a horse riding
incident.
Yes,
exactly. And this is a quote from him with all of that he had to deal with.
Yeah.
He said, once you choose hope, anything is possible.
And remember his dear wife took care of him for...
She did. She took care of him,
and then she
died
well.
Of lung cancer.
I know.
And she wasn't a smoker. I mean, talk about two warriors out there that made it happen.
They were a beautiful couple, too.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Got a fun fact for you. This is... Oh, you found this.
Not I know,
gonna
so
give
I'm going
to
say
no,
it.
No, you do it. Please,
okay,
please,
guys,
please.
Listen to this.
Okay, please.
If you type in your Google search, get ready for this, type in, do a barrel roll, the entire page will spin. It's a lot of fun.
So, of course, we tried it.
Of course we did. So go into Google and type, do a barrel roll, and watch the page go around.
That is so
it's
funny.
It's just fun. It'll make you laugh.
Can you see the developers at Google going, oh, let's just have some fun? But this is a good
know,
thing.
No,
oh, God, so do it. Do it. It's really good. Everybody's going to love that one. Okay, so, yes, we've got... There's so much about hope. It's kind of hopeless trying to dig out all the good stuff. But you found a genius article about this, and we're going to outflow from this article and our own comments about this to an interview with Tammy Lee Webb in a few minutes, who we produce her show, It's Steel About the Buns, and she's on episode number 6 right now.
Right.
So Tammy Lee, we're going to have her with a whole different perspective on this. It
love
just
it.
Killed me. Just
oh, yeah,
killed
you're going to love
you're gonna,
this.
You're going to love this. But let's take a look at some of the things that Daniel C.J. Grant had to say about tough times and hope.
Exactly. We kind of thought, well, he reminds me of you.
What do you mean?
His writing. He says things like this. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Of course, tough times happen to all of us, no matter how strong or powerful or confident we are. Mm-hmm. They're going to come no matter what. Things are just going to crumble. So as mighty as we can feel one day, we can feel just lost and scared the next. And I don't say this to cause fear to anyone, he says. It's just the truth. The hardest part of tough times is not to lose hope.
Correct. Actually, he gets right to the chase. You're right. He's pretty cool about this. The amazing thing about life, and just don't understand this, that it's you're still breathing. You are still breathing. You still have a chance. I know it sounds like a little ooga booga, but that's true. So I agree with what he says here. I don't care what you think. It's God, the universe, whatever. You still have a chance because you're still with us.
And so talking about telling people, okay, be grateful. It kind of sounds like a cliche. Everybody's saying, you know, I'm just so grateful. Breathe in the air, do this and do that. But sometimes it's hard to get lost and get out of that cluttered thoughts. You know, you're in there, you're trying to dig out, you have no hope, and you just can't be grateful.
Yeah, I know. That's when you are lost in hopelessness. And over the period of our life, I got to say that, you know, I had periods like that where I was hopeless more often, you know, than I'd like to recollect, maybe 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this feels like one. Does it always, I guess, feel like this is the worst one?
It does. And he talks about going back to times when you felt hopeless. So
yeah.
The first thing that came to mind was when I'd finished drama school and I came back to Canada. And when I left drama school, I thought I was going to immediately go into acting in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the old job that I started with before I went to drama school.
Mm-hmm.
I had no car. I was back living with my parents. There was a snowstorm and I was waiting for the bus.
Yeah. That's
you know?
A bad day.
Yeah, it's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
But I got out of it. I ended up getting a job in the theater and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. So there are gratitudes for those moments when you pulled out of this, obviously. But like he's saying here, is if you're struggling to come up with anything, remember, in fact, you are still alive. It won't last forever, so take advantage of it. So I kind of like that, too, because it does reward you for rekindling those feelings of hope again. So I think he makes a good point here.
Well, like I said, go back to the time when you had a really rough time. What pulled you through that rough time? Was it a book, a friend, a family member? Some music that you listen to. He talks about how he loves James Taylor. And when he listens to James Taylor, it makes him feel happy.
I have to agree with him on that. James Taylor has had some of the most wonderful songs.
He does.
He does.
You've got a friend.
And Fire and Rain and all this kind of stuff. But it's just the quality of his voice that you love. And I don't know. It's like a bolt right into my head. When I hear James Taylor's song, it just feels so soothing and, I guess, hopeful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Tammy Lee talks about how she goes and she has a friend that she can call up.
That's right.
And that friend will help her out of that feeling of despair. And I guess what this gentleman's trying to say, what we're trying to say is be proactive and trust yourself. Don't let your tough times control your life.
Well, there is the essence of the whole thing. I mean, in the dark of night, when the creepy crawlies come in there and you're saying about whatever it is, money, health, personal experience with your spouse, anything like that. Those, and they seem to gang up on you too, don't they? Not a big cascade of stuff, not just, oh, we have no money or I've got skin cancer or something like this. But all of those things seem to fall in at one time.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
You know, do you do that too, you guys? Do you just get up, like all of a sudden, bam, you're awake at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and you're soaked with sweat and you think, I'm not going to make it. What are we going to do? I'm going to be homeless. Those horrible, creepy feelings.
Yeah, but sometimes too, I have to say that something irrelevant will come into your head.
Yeah.
Like really stupid stuff like, okay, I've got to do this tomorrow. And it'll just sit there on you and gnaw at you. So what? You'll get it done. But for goodness sakes, I mean, those are tough times when that stuff, the black dogs, as they say, come around, right? And then your mom used to call
them? My mom called them the black dogs.
Depression?
Yeah, of depression. And she said, you know, during tough times, you just can't give up.
Right.
You have to dig down and find that strength somewhere and just go forward. Work on what needs to get done. Try and build some momentum and then build on it further because action pulls you out of despair.
That's great. That's very well said.
Thank you. Well,
all right,
well, I'm passionate about this hopelessness because I've been feeling a lot of it lately, and I need to turn hopelessness into hope.
Okay. You want the bottom line on what this guy's talking about,
right?
Daniel C.J. Grant. This is a good guy. This is a smart guy. The point he wants to make is this. Keep your head up, believe in yourself, and take life head on. Your tough times won't stand a chance.
You've been there before. You got out of it.
Yeah, you did.
You can get out of it again.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is great.
I don't even
make my own comments today because this was just like...
She's fabulous.
She was fabulous. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's our friend Tammy Lee Webb. This is... we were recording episode number 6 of It's Steel About the Buns. And then she said, well, I'll give you a few minutes on your show, too. How about that? And we said, oh, gosh, let's talk about hope.
Wise women, wise words. So we're talking about hope, Tammy Lee, and I wanted to ask you, what does hope mean to you?
Well, actually, I have a list of words that I try and eliminate from my vocabulary.
Okay.
And hope is one of them.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because hope to me means that you don't truly believe in it.
Okay.
It's like you're wanting something, you're hoping that, but you're not totally committed. And I'm one of those, I'm either in or I'm not in.
Got it.
So at hope, I'm kind of wishy-washy. It's like, yeah, I hope I get there. But hope to me isn't the real deal. I would say I would turn that into trust or faith. So those would be the words that I would switch it to. So for me, it'd be, I don't hope to do this. I trust in myself that I'm going to do this.
Interesting, because our show is faith, hope, and then we're going to be talking about
charity.
In our next podcast.
So I'm assuming try is not in your vocabulary.
Try is not in it either. Should is not in there.
Okay.
Could is not in there.
Got it.
Try not use those, not with my clients, not with me, because those are things that are saying that I'm not committed. I don't believe that I'm going to get there. So if you say, I will do this, or I am doing this, which one is more committed?
I am.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm in it now. I'm doing it now. I'm not going to do it in the future.
Right.
I looked at hope as like gasoline that you put in the car, and that faith continues you through.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, we all talk about, we live in a world now that's kind of hopeless because we get such bad news, the flu, North Korea, you know, I mean, there's just so much going on.
Yeah.
And so that is why we were talking about hope. To me, I think hope is more like, I'm going to be positive.
Uh-huh.
That's how I look at hope.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not slamming your hope thing here, but I'm just saying is that hope to me isn't a commitment. It's I might get there and I might not. So it's switching it to, okay, if this is what I'm wanting, I have to trust in myself that I'm going to get there and that I have faith, whatever that is, your faith is, mm-hmm. that those are the words. And so how do I get faith? How do I trust? Well, that goes back into either feeding your soul, your head, your mind with the positive things that you know are going to get you there. So if watching the news is bringing you down, don't watch the news.
Got it.
If hanging around a person that is so successful and is doing great and it's where you're hoping to be, don't hang around them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go, okay, I'm going to learn from this. Don't sabotage yourself. Go, but when I'm around them, instead of the ego saying, oh, poor me, I'm not where they are, what can I learn from them? Pull the good from what they did to get where they are, that's going to help you trusting yourself that you're going to get there.
Again, we go back to being more mindful, isn't it?
Yes.
Just pulling out the goodness that you can out of this because of our troubled times we live in.
Yeah. So I hear mom say sometimes, can you try and behave yourself? Try. What's that? Try? Okay, Mom, I'll try.
So you're already setting yourself up for failure when you say you're going to try.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm not saying like I'm working on some projects. Oh, gosh, I hope I get there. It's I know I'm going to get there. And that's what management or having a business plan or it doesn't even have to be business. It's your mm-hmm. personal plan for the day, setting our intentions, which we have talked about, is this is what I'm going to do today mm-hmm. and not hope that I get to them. And if you didn't, then they go into the next day knowing and trusting that you're going to get there. Mm-hmm.
The little steps, the little one step at a time.
Yes.
The one step on the ladder at a time.
Yes.
Well, my last thing is if we lose hope or if it's gone, how do you get it back? Or how do you get your faith back? How do you get your positivity back? If you're really down in
the mire.
Yeah. Way down. You've had a lot of things financially, you know, lost parents.
Spiritually.
Or you're getting ready to go for surgery. How do you get that back?
Well, are you asking me personally? Or are you asking
both.
In general?
In general.
In general, most people will usually go to their faith. So if things are so bad, they kind of go back where they feel the most comfortable. And a lot of times it's usually a person. I mean, don't you have a go-to? You mm-hmm. probably go to Mike. Mike goes to you. Yeah.
Sadly,
right?
True.
But sometimes we're both.
Yeah.
Right.
Never get the same day. Yeah. have a
but
bad
I
feeling
of
the same day.
But you have people, because you know so many people, that lift your spirits. And I have that. I have a friend, I call her my sister, and she lives back east. And boy, when I can't seem to get myself back on that track, I will call her and say, hey, you know, will you help me? I'm having a really hard day today. And she helps me see all the things that are positive in my life, the gratitude. So when we can focus on what's going good in our lives instead of what has gone bad, it's not so bad.
So don't turn it inward, but reach out and be trustful that someone else will
Well, someone
help
else
you.
Can help remind you
ah,
when they know you that well.
Yeah.
Yes, but in fact, she said this to me yesterday. I was having a moment yesterday, and she goes, sister, I'm going to remind you. What's the word? And I'm like, the word? I couldn't even see. It was like, just, I'm like, well, the word, I don't know what the word is. Mm-hmm. She goes, it starts with a T and ends with a T. Trust.
Wow. I love that.
Because I know it, but I just got it. Everything just started falling down at once. And it was like, of course I'm hormonal right now anyway. So that makes it worse. And so it's just, it's going to a person or it's going to your faith, whatever that is, uh-huh. you know, your foundation and, or grounding yourself. I know that for me, I like to go out and walk in Mother Nature or put my feet in the sand. I live at the beach, so it's just, oh my gosh, I just go down there and it's like everything that was bad, I just let it wash out of me and goes into the sand. And it's like a new slate. Some people want to meditate, you know, quiet in your mind or listen to something that motivates them. Like people listen to mm-hmm. your guys' podcast all the time because they get information and motivation. And when you and I do this on my podcast where you'll say, oh, I just feel so good when we leave that podcast.
I do.
Just feel so good. So it's being with people that are going to lift that energy level in you and make you go, wow, there is hope. There is, and that's how I would use hope. There is always hope, but if you're hoping to get there, then that isn't how I use it.
I love that. The hope then is the positive attitude.
Yes.
It's not the thing that's going to get you anywhere, get you started, or get you in there doing it.
The
it's
hope
the
is,
attitude.
Is you, it's, right. It's the, okay, I know that I have hope. Hope to me is, it's faith. But hoping to get somewhere, that I'm not going to use hope. I'm trusting that I'm going to get there.
Yes.
And And sometimes it's hard just going, doing it alone. Like I live by myself. I work for myself and I've got my fur babies around me. Well, they can't always interact with me verbally. And I need sometimes to bounce off ideas and I need somebody to listen to me. And so I have a group of girlfriends that are business women and work for themselves. And I call them my executive team. And so I will call them and, hey, I need a little advice here. What do you think? I need to bump this, you know, off of you. And sometimes they give me, well, most of the time they do give me great advice, but it's the same when things aren't good and you're really down, you need to take a moment and you need to go inward, ask yourself, why did this happen? Okay, it happened. This is how I'm feeling. I acknowledge it. And now I need to release it. And how am I going to release it? And you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to go find a litter of puppies and just dive in and let them lick me to death. Mm-hmm. Anything that brings that happiness back.
Because like, life is short.
Oh, well, yeah. And it's shorter as we get older, right? It's like the vortex. It just spins and it goes faster and faster and faster until you finally get down the rabbit hole. But so at this age, why do we waste our time doing things that we don't love? Why would you do anything that you don't love or be around people that you don't love? Now, sometimes you have to because they're either work, you know, partners or whatever.
Reality sets
then
in.
That means you've got to change your attitude because nobody else is going to change. So when you get mad at somebody and you're just like fuming over them, it's like, whoa, all you're doing is hurting yourself because you're getting all worked up and they don't even know you're doing that. They could care less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that.
I love that. So a lot of people our age are starting over and they might have to do some things at the beginning that they don't want to do. Like, I don't know, work part-time here and do that. It's the attitude while you're doing it. It's not what you're doing, but go in there and find the good out of what you need to do to get where you want to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. It's taking whatever it is that you're doing. No, it may not be the end all. So if you're working retail and you're like, ah, you know, this isn't really where I want to be, especially at this age, but it's where you're at. So make the most of it because you never know what can come from that. And if you have that attitude, then you're attracting more of that attitude towards you. And then before you know it, it's like, hey, we want to offer you the management position and we're going to double your salary.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Or, you know, something comes up where another job opening opens up. It's your attitude in the moment. And nobody has control over that but you.
Tammy Lee, thank you so much for this information.
Thank you, guys. Are you kidding? I love talking to you.
Well, you're the best.
So are you. And you too, Mike.
Amazing.
She gets fired up, it's pretty inspiring, isn't it?
Every time I spend time with Tammy Lee Webb, she makes me feel so hopeful.
You almost cry every time.
I do, because she says, you can do it. Go out and do it. Don't stop.
Yeah, I know. She's been, obviously, remember for those of you who are thinking, who's Tammy Lee Webb? She was very famous for her exercise programs. Buns of Steel being the premier one.
Oh,
she
had
Abs of Steel. She had all.
She was very good.
Oh, and a tremendous instructor, physical fitness instructor. And she's a public speaker. She's going to be doing all kinds of exciting things. You'll be hearing about that in episode 6 from that. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And so every time she comes on our show, it's like we're taking to school.
Yeah, she just gives off such a positive vibe. And I have to say, you come out of it thinking, you know what? Shut up, Jennifer. You can do it. Get out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, thank you, Tammy Lee.
Yeah, good friend. Jen's Health Minute. Oh, boy, back into the flu again, eh?
Oh, man, this flu is really, really bad. And, we have a friend, pharmacist, and I think I may have even talked about this in the last one, that I got a second flu shot, and you can get up to about 5 of them. The reason why I got a second flu shot is I'm going to Canada to have some eye surgery done for glaucoma, and I need to be healthy. But I wanted to let you know the reason why this flu is so bad, it's the H3N2. Mm-hmm. And whenever there's an H3N2, or an H3N1, a lot of us know about that one.
I do too,
It's really, really tough. It's really deadly because this H virus mutates.
Oh.
And it mutates from person to person. And, you know, the way they come up with the flu virus is that they process it in eggs. And it has to grow in eggs. And it starts to mutate in the eggs. So they have to get rid of that, you know, that batch.
Oh,
now,
so
it's still better to have
a moving target.
It's a moving target. It's a really smart virus. And so many times when this virus shows up to be the dominant strain, mm-hmm. people get super sick and can die. And so I know that a lot of people don't believe in the flu shot, but they've proven that it at least helps for about a third of
hospital or doctor visits, right? It will eliminate a third of them?
It eliminate about a third of them. And I have to tell you, my mom got the flu. And she'd had a flu shot. She's in a nursing home. She got the flu. But they got her on an antiviral medication called Tamiflu. And evidently, you have to get on this within 24 hours, 48 at the very least. Yep. She got it within 24 hours. And I'm telling you guys, within 48 hours, she's feeling much better. Now, this is a 95-year-old lady mm-hmm. who gets a lot of mucus caught in the back of her throat. So she has a lot of problems with her lungs mm-hmm. or can have. And I talked to her this morning, and she's feeling great.
Well, by the way, I looked up how do you die of the flu? There's three different ways about it. The first incidence of succumbing to the flu is if it fills your lungs with fluid, so you can't get enough oxygen.
Right.
In, number one.
Right.
Number two is if that doesn't occur, it can migrate into pneumonia, but that takes about a week. And the third way is it will shut down other of your organs, even your heart, with swelling. So, I mean, it's a serious deal, and people are going around. Nobody wants to shake hands anymore. Nobody wants to hug anymore. People are wearing surgical masks on the airplanes, all with good reason, because we've got to put a stop to this.
Yeah, and Dr. Oz, I was watching a whole show on that, and he said, do not touch your face. That is how it happens. And unfortunately, that the flu is spread by air, and so if someone sneezes, he said that a sneeze goes 90 miles an hour.
Oh, God, that's
and
gross.
So, man, you can get it. So the best thing to do is to prevent it as much as you can by don't touch your face, wash your hands, do fist bumps or what were we doing?
Elbow bumps.
Yeah. Don't hug anybody right now. Stay safe.
Okay, that's great. Time off. Well, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this again. It sounds like the Tammy Lee Show here, but anyway, there were so many interesting things in our discussion. One of the aside things is a process that people are studying and talking about now called grounding. Now, the idea is that your body really is electrical, like everything else out there. It's electrical. And so every now and again, like having a lightning rod on a building, mm-hmm. you need to discharge the electricity that's within your system. This is the idea. And to do that, you need to ground yourself. And how do you do that?
Well, you take your shoes off.
Okay.
And socks off.
I'll check number one. Step one, take off your shoes.
And you go outside. This is one way.
Yeah.
You go outside barefoot. And you actually get your toes in the grass or the dirt or the sand, and you just kind of wiggle them around. You breathe in the air, and you kind of let that electricity go down from your body into the ground.
So it's kind of a meditation in its own way, too, isn't it?
It truly is. And I'm telling you, I tried it, and it works.
Great.
And you just put your hands down, breathe in, close your eyes, your shoes are off, you're digging your feet in the sand or the dirt or the grass, wherever you are. It cannot be man-made, can't be concrete or fake grass.
Yeah, not within your house or any of that stuff.
Anything like that. It has to be the earth. And you feel better.
Yeah.
You really feel better.
There's a kind of a movement about this now, and I'm fascinated by it. It's funny because when we were talking to Tammy Lee about it, I had just stumbled over this myself. So it's kind of a wall. You know, the world is so small now, right? Somebody has an idea, everybody knows about it in 15 minutes. So it's cool. Look into it yourself and see what you think about it, folks, because grounding is catching some steam.
Well, we have a vet who we love, and he moved up to Portland, Oregon, and mm-hmm. he went out with his daughter and wife and dogs, and they hugged a tree. And I know that sounds ooga booga, and, you
know, does.
Like flower child stuff, but that is also grounding. You're grabbing onto this tree, and you're letting all the electricity go into this massive tree and go down into the ground. And it was a beautiful picture.
Well, that's great. I love it. I love it for what they're doing. They're happy. That's what counts to me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I got to remember when, and I can't wait for this either.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Okay. We had about words that have gone away. Last week we talked about words that have failed to have any meaning anymore but should have been brought back. This week I thought I'd look into common expressions and how they came about.
Yeah.
And there's some goofy ones here too. The expression butter you up, it means to flatter somebody, right?
Okay. There's a Seinfeld where they buttered themselves up, but that's a whole other story. Go on. Sorry.
You and the Seinfeld.
I know, I digress.
I am just.
Okay, sorry.
I am focused on this, and we're talking about Seinfeld again.
I know, sorry.
Okay, all right. Okay. Butter you up is flattering someone. So the history of it is an ancient Indian custom involving throwing balls of clarified butter at statues of the gods to seek favor.
That makes sense.
Not at all.
Oh, well.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Throwing butter at statues. Okay, anyway. Okay, that's number one. You want to do this one?
Throw the baby out? No, this one's creepy. Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
All right, okay. The meaning is to hang on to valuable things while getting rid of unnecessary things. Okay?
Yeah.
The history of this one, throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is creepy. During the 1500s, most people bathed about once a year.
Oh, stinky.
Even if they didn't need to. Even when they did bathe, the entire family used the same tub full of water. The man of the house bathed first, followed by the other males, then the females, and finally, the babies. So you can imagine.
That's disgusting.
Why would the
baby get the dregs?
I don't know. You can imagine how thick and cloudy the water became by that time. So the infant's mothers had to take darn care not to throw them out with the bathwater when they emptied the tub.
That is just the creepiest, most smelliest, most horrible thing.
Oh, I've got more.
Tell me about eating humble pie. That's an interesting
eating
one.
Humble pie is, now the meaning of it is making an apology and suffering humiliation along with it, like, you know, mea culpa.
Right.
Okay. So during the Middle Ages, the lord of the manor would hold a feast after hunting. He'd receive the finest cut of meat at the feast, but those of a lower standing were served a pie filled with, yikes, the entrails and innards known as umbles.
Huh.
Therefore, receiving umble pie was considered humiliating because it informed others in attendance of the guest's lower status.
Another pig.
Well, only the inside of the pig is what you... Okay. I'm not going to do giving the cold shoulder unless you want me to.
Yeah, I want
the last one is the most fun. Okay, you want to do the cold shoulder?
Giving the cold shoulder.
All right, meaning, you know what it means, right?
Well, it's a rude way of telling somebody or someone they're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the history is, although giving someone the cold shoulder today is considered rude, it was actually regarded as a polite gesture in medieval England. After a feast, the host would let his guests know it was time to leave by giving them a cold piece of meat from the shoulder of a beef, mutton, or pork.
God, how on earth did that get started?
I don't know.
Is there a Seinfeld about that?
No.
Okay,
no,
thank
well,
God.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Oh,
let me
gosh.
Go back
now,
into my
don't
memory
think,
banks.
Don't think about it. Okay. And here's the last one. I'm going on and on. I know, but here, this is cool, though. This is go the whole nine yards. Well, everybody's heard that expression, right? The meaning is to try your best, all right? The history of this, World War II fighter pilots received, you're not going to believe this, a nine-yard chain of ammunition. Therefore, when a pilot used all of his ammunition on one target, he gave it the whole 9 yards. Where are these things? I mean,
violence.
I know, but it's so fascinating to me.
It is.
I love that stuff. Okay. All right. So I've got a long quote. Why don't you do it?
Well, I really hope you guys enjoyed our session on hope.
Yes.
Do you like that?
Oh, my.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I don't like the ones when I get too long in it.
You got a good voice. Everyone likes to listen to
it. I hope that in this year to come, you make mistakes. Because if you are making mistakes, then you're making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing your world. You're doing things you've never done before. And more importantly, you're doing something.
You're right.
Neil Gaiman.
You're alive, you're breathing, and you're doing something. You're moving forward.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to close the show.
Please do.
This is from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Man, he has some great quotes. Only in the darkness Can you see the stars? So keep hope. You're alive, you're here, and you know what? We're all in this together.